greet you this morning in the matchless and mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Giving honor to God and to your pastor in his absence, my good friend, Brother Tim Warner, Pastor Tim. And I'm so glad to be here in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He and I are going to have to talk because I didn't know he was going to do two churches. And we're going to have to talk because he probably going to need some guidance on how to do two churches, because that's what I do right now. And I tell you, it's working. It's work. And God's got to keep you. So y'all continue to pray for your pastor as he takes on this new endeavor in the next few days. Keep praying for him that he would stand the test, and that and Miss Paula, you make sure that if the doctor tells him to stay home, Amen. He stays home.
Amen.
Because you can't do nothing if you laid up and messed up.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And so today he's entrusted me to stand behind this sacred desk. I don't know what he saw in me, but I'm going to preach a word. Prayerfully, it'll bless you. Hopefully, it'll lead you. And confidently, it will keep you until God says otherwise. And so I bring you greetings from the Huntingtown Church and two churches, Patuxent United Methodist Church and Plum Point, way down in Calvert County, Maryland. And so I bring you greetings on behalf of those two congregations. Just a few moments. I know the scripture has been read into your hearing from Philippians chapter number 3, verses 12 through 14. But I want to read it again if I can. And I want to read this time from Eugene Peterson's The Message. And I'm going to begin at verse number 1. And these words are recorded by the Apostle Paul. He says, "And that's about it, friends. Be glad in God. I don't mind repeating what I have written in earlier letters, and I hope you don't mind hearing it again. Better safe than sorry, so here it goes. Steer clear of the barking dogs. Those religious busybodies all bark and no bite. All they're interested in is appearances, knife-happy circumcisers, I call them. The real believers are the ones the Spirit of God leads to work away at this ministry, filling the air with Christ's praise as we do it. We couldn't carry this off by our own efforts, and we know it. Even though we can list what many might think are impressive credentials. You know my pedigree, a legitimate birth, circumcised on the eighth day, an Israelite from the elite tribe of Benjamin, a strict and devout adherent to God's law, a fiery defender of the purity of my religion, even to the point of persecuting the church, a meticulous observer of everything set down in God's law book. The very credentials these people are waving around are something special. I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. I gave up all the inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it." Now here's where I'm going to focus today. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. So friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. The word of God for the people of God. And if I could use for a subject on this morning, I just want to leave with the men and with the rest of you who have gathered today, looking forward. Looking forward. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, for these few moments that you've given unto me to stand behind this sacred desk, I pray now, God, that you would hide me behind your old rugged cross. Allow your Holy Spirit even now to speak to me and speak through me. Open my eyes that I might see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hand the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. For silently now, God, I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illuminate me. O Spirit divine, consecrate me now to your service, Lord, by your power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope. My will be lost in thine. Now, God, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. You, O God, are my strength and my redeemer. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Looking forward. You know, there really have been times in all of our lives when we've had to put some things behind us, walk away and not look back, but instead remember what we've learned and move on. As we celebrate you men today, and as we celebrate you in this year of 2016, some things have happened in your lives that you will have to put away, get behind you, not look back on, but instead remember what you've learned and go forward. And so as I reflect even over my young life, there have been many things that I have had to put behind me. As hard as it seemed to be, I had to learn from the past and move on to my future. See, the one thing that I clearly remember is the times when I would sit down and write down all these answers to this elder's examination that I had to go through to become an elder in the Methodist Church. It seemed to me as though I had conquered the task, but when it came time to explain what I had written down, there seemed to be a disconnect. I went through this numerous of times before I finally got it right. And so even though I got it right in the elder's part, it started in my probationary season where I wanted to become a probationary deacon, and I failed the first time I took the exam. But the one thing that I remember is that I had put it behind me and learn in order that I might pass it the next time. And you know, the funny thing about this is that I learned and I conquered some stuff at the probationary stage that would prepare me for the elder stage. And so as I continue to move in this ministry realm, I thought I was prepared for a whole lot of stuff. But I didn't quite measure up to what they were looking for. And so I failed again twice. I wanted to throw in the towel. I wanted to walk away from the promise that God had made unto me. I just wanted to remain with the status quo. But there's something about God. That the people that God places in your life helps you to gather your stuff together and remind you that God did not bring you this far just to leave you. I'm so glad that I had some folk around me who reminded me of what the Apostle Paul reminds us in Philippians 1:6, that the thing that God has started in us, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ's return. And since Christ hasn't come back for me, he's still doing some stuff in my life. You got to remind yourself of that 4:13 passage that says you can do all things through Christ that gives you the strength. And so if I'm looking at you this morning, it looked like God has raised you up pretty well. He's given you the ability to walk in this place. He's given you the ability to lift up holy hands and to magnify his holy name. And so he's strengthening you for the task that he has in store for you down the road. So you can't hold on to yesterday's business, but you got to forget what's behind you and begin to look forward to the stuff that God has for you. Let me ask this question. I just want to ask, because I know last week was Father's Day, and you know, we sometimes don't get a good billing. But how many of us can kind of forget what happened last week and remind yourself this week that God still has something in store for you to do if you're a father? How many of you have purposed in your mind that God will give you the strength to go on to see what the end will be? How many of you gathered it in your mindset that you are more than a conqueror through him that loved you? How many of you stopped by this morning to find out that even when you get weary, wounded, and sad, God has promised you a resting place? See, you got to understand that you're going to go through some trials. You're going to go through some stuff. But it's how you come out on the other end. That's the important thing in life. See, you got to understand, I when I look back over what I've gone through, not just in the last 6 to 7 years, but over my entire life, If I were to have thrown in the towel at any moment, I would have defeated the purpose God has for me, for who I am in this world. If I had just dropped the ball and never went back and picked the ball up, I wouldn't be who I am today. And sometimes you got to begin to look forward, even though you can't see what God has in store for you. You got to do as Paul says, you got to walk by faith and not by sight. No, I can't see it, God, but I'm trusting you to move me to another place. See, sometimes you got to look within yourself and remind yourself and encourage yourself and tell yourself that you can make it. See, I learned from some of my past mistakes, my lack of confidence, and I was determined to make the most of my opportunities. And so today in our scripture lesson, Paul speaks to us about keeping on, pressing forward, not giving up. And I know that as men, we will go through a lot of things in life. And sometimes we want to just throw it all in, give it all up. We don't want to move forward because the economy is not where we think it ought to be. We don't know whether or not we're going to be employed tomorrow. A number of things will happen in our personal lives that will make us want to go in another direction. Can I help you this morning? If you in Christ, stay in him. I know stuff gonna get hard. It ain't always gonna look pretty. You ain't always gonna be on a bed of roses. Hello. Everything ain't gonna be peaches and cream for you. But you gotta hang on in there. You got to stay the course. You can't give up the fight. Even if you, like I preached last week to my folk, even if you got to take a time out and go sit up underneath a tree and drink you some lemonade and some iced tea and reflect on the goodness of God in your life, take that time out and then get up and move to where God would have you to move. You can't stay there. You got to move forward. See, I'm from a little country town called Brandywine. And sometimes you would think Brandywine was like Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Brandywine? Well, I stopped by to let you know this morning that up in this house, there are two good things that has come out of Brandywine. Oh, y'all looking at me funny. See, this brother sitting right here was one of the baddest football players Gwynn Park ever had. Oh, see, y'all. He came out of Brandywine. And I know he had some struggles in life because he come out of Brandywine. And all of us struggled when we came out of Brandywine. But look what God has done with Brandywine up in Gaithersburg. Come on, somebody. There's something that God wants us to do, and we got to move forward in Christ. We can't stand there. We can't wallow in our stuff. We got to hold our heads up and know that the Christ that we serve is able to do far more than we could ever imagine or think of. And so with your little bit of power that you got, hook your stuff up with the dunamis power. Hook your stuff up with the Holy Ghost power and let God move you to another place. Paul says, I want you not to give up. I want you to hang in there. I want you to go against the grain. When folk have counted you out, keep moving. Some of us have just plain old stopped. Some of you, even in the last month or so, had looked at the plight of our nation, and you said, what's the sense of me even stopping by a poll? I can't make no difference. Don't you know that if you don't stop by the poll, you've already made your decision as to how you want stuff to go? I mean, some people hung, bled, and died for you to have a right to go to a poll to cast your vote. You can't give up on your people. Come on. It ain't over till God says it's over. Some of us have dropped the ball. We don't want to pick it back up. I'm not a big LeBron James fan. I don't want to bust nobody's bubble, but I just ain't. But I saw the man do something.
Come on.
In the last 3 to 4 games that he played, that said to me, he refused to look back on what he had done in previous series and had gone home without a trophy. See, sometimes you got to get down on the inside of yourself and you got to speak over yourself and you got to encourage yourself and you got to say to yourself, I'm a winner and I'm not a loser. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the lender and not the borrower. You got to say to yourself, self. God ain't bring us this far just to leave us. And you got to get it down in your spirit. Let it speak to you so that when you do rise up to do what God has for you to do, there's no devil in hell that can stop you from doing what God has for you. You got to understand, God didn't bring you to this place. for you to sit on the pew. Amen. Enough pew warmers in all of our church. Every Sunday the pew is hot from the folk who don't want to get up and do nothing. There's also multiple shootings taking place in the midst of our neighborhoods every single night. And so, men, we need you to look forward, to look beyond where you are. Some of us may not have had a daddy in the house, but you've grown to be what God has called you to be. Help some young child be who God has called them to be. Some of you may have had a daddy who showed you and left you alone. Some of you may have had one that taught you and showed you. Whatever the case is, you got to look back over what they showed you and taught you. And some of it might have been good. Some of it might not have been good at all. But you got to forget about the past and reach forward to the prize of the high calling that's found in Christ Jesus. Paul wants us to look at these things as we deal with failings and failures. And in the midst of our failures, Paul reminds us that we got to forget the past and look to the future. Two things. Forget what you've dealt with and look to where God's taking you. Hello. Let me ask you. If we're going to be powerful men, powerful people, mighty disciples of Christ that's needed in this day and time, then we need to do both. We need to look at our past and stop letting the devil bring it up and remind ourselves of where God is taking us. See, if we're going to become powerful like that, and I know many of you sitting here saying to yourself that it's hard to put the past behind me because it seems as though it just keeps coming right back. It's hard to work daily to remind myself that my past is just that, my past. I'm only human. I'm just a man. Lord, help me today. Show me the way one day at a time. We come up with all kinds of stuff as to why we can't look at what we've been through, count it a joy and an honor and a privilege to have gone through it, and then move on. We come up with a whole, let me just help you today because I like to help folk. If I had dwelled on what I went through in my childhood and counted it to the fact that my daddy had a drinking problem, if I had dwelled on that all of my life, I would not be standing behind this pulpit. You would be down at the ABC store watching me turn up, and you would say, turn up for what? I'll be turning up. But I thank God that I learned as to why my daddy did what he did. Oh, come on, somebody. See, you got to understand, as a black man, I ain't no disrespect to the other colors in the house, but as a black man, when you've gone through the death of your father at 18 months, the death of your mama on Christmas Day at 12, the death of two children. Oh, come on. And you know, we don't like to lay on the couch and talk to nobody.
Come on now. Amen. 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 Amen.
Had I clung to all of that, I wouldn't be who I am today. But I determined within myself. Now, don't get me wrong. I ain't going to stand in this pulpit and tell you I ain't never had a Lohenbrown. I ain't going to tell you I ain't never had a Heineken. I ain't going to lie to you. But I can tell you what I learned from where I came from. that I didn't really need that to make it through life. Oh, come on, somebody. And so you got a lot of folk that will remember you when. And you got to remind them, that's who I used to be. But by the grace of the Almighty God, I am who I am. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You got to reach down inside yourself. Stop looking at yesterday. Stop looking at last year. Stop looking at 20 years ago. And begin to say, I can make it. We get caught up on stuff. Continue to say to yourself, if God is for me, then he's more than the whole world against me. Say to yourself, I can make it. I'm looking beyond my fault and seeing what God needs me for. You gotta write your stuff down. Let me ask you this question. What are your goals? What are your goals? What is it in your Christian life that you want to obtain? And what is it in your personal life that you want to obtain? See, Paul had some goals to achieve, and they weren't easy goals. And he says the one thing that Paul had to do, and we will all have to do, is to keep focused on our goals and the future that we want for ourselves. It takes energy and work to obtain your goals. And you got to remind yourself each day of what you're looking forward to. By the mere fact that God has you still here, he ain't done with you yet. And so Paul's goal was this: to know Christ and to be like Christ and to be all Christ had in mind for him to be. And so when we focus our energy on being the best that Christ would have us to be, we should want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. We should want to be all that we can be for Christ in order that others might know and see Christ in us. We all got some goals. And it sometimes takes some pushing and some straining to reach your goal. You got to continue to persevere until you make it till the end. I'm so glad. I'm telling you, I'm glad that folk pushed me beyond my comfort zone. Because if they had not, I would still be muddling through this thing. But here I stand before you today as a full member elder in the United Methodist Church. When my folk at Bowie State told me to change my degree, I went on and got me a computer science degree and a specialty in mathematics at Bowie State University. When they told me to change my stuff, big head, I said, not here. I'm going to be what God has called me to be. And when I went to Wesley and some folk probably thought I wasn't going to make that, I got a Master's of Divinity degree. And so here I stand to you today, not giving up on what God has placed on the inside of me. I enrolled this past year in United Theological Seminary to get my doctorate of ministry degree. God ain't through with me yet. And God ain't through with you. So when you look back over your life and you think some stuff over, you ought to truly say that you've been blessed. You got a testimony. You've been through some stuff. You can tell somebody how you made it over. You got to strain. You got to put forth the work. Even in ministry, you got to put forth some work. You can't just show up and expect the preacher to do everything for you. I don't quote discipline much, but if I recall, the discipline says, now this is the United Methodist discipline, it says that the pastor's job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Now, when I equip somebody, that means I'm teaching them and giving them the tools to do the task that God has called them to do.
Yes.
And so you can't expect the pastor. I know he ain't here, but he and I know we here on some stuff. You can't expect the pastor to run and rip and run up and down the road 24 hours, 7 days a week, and then be fresh for you come Sunday morning to give you a word. Huh? See, because if he or she is not being fed in the midst of that week's time, what you're going to get is an old-fashioned, cooked-over, leftover sermon that when you go home, you're going to say, we heard that last week. Yeah. Well, you heard that last week because you didn't give him time this week. And so if you want your pastor to look forward, you got to give him or her the ability to look forward. That, what you saying, preacher? Well, he getting ready to take on another church. And he's equipped you all with some stuff over here at the Grove. That some stuff you really don't need him to be there to help you do. Uh-oh. He's equipped you. He's given you the tools to do. And what Paul is saying, I'm giving you the tools to do what you need to do to move forward in this thing called life and ministry. And every time your toenail ache, you can't call the pastor. Get you a toenail clipper, some Epsom salt, work that bad boy in there, cut your toenail, get that ingrown out of there, and keep it moving. Because as long as you hold yourself and the leaders hostage from doing ministry, the longer it's going to take for you to move forward.
Yes, sir.
You got to trust God. What God has given you, trust him enough to carry you through it. You got construction in the back of this church. Trust God that it's going to be completed, and give yourself a goal to have it completed. I'm telling you, if you want to move forward, you can't dwell on what happened yesterday.
Amen.
You got to count it all joy. You got to know that you know that you know that you know that you know that your labor will not be in vain. You got to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Men, keep walking with your head up. Folk ain't gotta know you ain't got a pot nor a window. Just keep walking with your head hung high. They ain't gotta know. Ain't none of their business. You know what God has given you. You know what he's equipped you with. Use the gifts that God has given you. See, I tell folk all the time, I can't sing. And my wife will tell you, I can't sing. But she will put a caveat on that thing when the anointing falls. I seen you under the pew when the anointing fall. But I know what my gifts are. See, I'm taking piano lessons, Rob. And you stay right there where you are. But the one thing I've learned, in order for me to become better at a craft, I gotta hang in there. I gotta look forward to where I wanna see myself. See, when I sit at the piano, Rob, my fingers don't do what I want them to do. But my mind is telling me that my fingers can do what I want them to do. And so the longer I practice, the better I'll be. Now see, I've come a long way from playing Mary Had a Little Lamb. A long way. But because of practice and me forgetting about what I couldn't do and pushing myself to do something different as I took the piano. See, you got to see yourself doing something different. How many of you see yourself in the same place in the next 5 years? You got to see yourself moving forward. And in order for you to move forward, you got to look forward. Stop turning around. See who's looking at you. Then you say, every time I turn around, stop turning around. Amen. Keep walking forward. God has something especially designed for you. If God has called you to minister in this place, just stay in the gift lane that God has given you. I tell my folk all the time, you can't preach like the pastor. You can't pray like the pastor, but you can pray. So pray the way God has given you to pray. Preach the way God has given you to preach. Sing and play the way God has given you to play. And when you use your gifts for the glory of God, God will take you to another level. He'll move you forward. See, I get tired of just sitting in the same spot. I can't sit still, Ed. I don't know what it is. I just can't sit still. My wife tell me, you just need to rest. Relax, rest, relax. Sit down. Don't do nothing. I can't keep still. I ain't ADHD either. I just got to be doing something. You know, and the more I do, the more I figure out that there's something different in my skill set that can be used for the glory of God. I told you, I don't play like Rob, but I can play. Don't sleep on my skills now. But there's going to be a day when I hook up with Rob and he say, play something, I'm going to play like Rob. Y'all laughing because y'all don't believe me. But if you don't believe in yourself, who will? Look forward. Emory Grove, God didn't bring you this far to leave you. You on this corner for a reason. Let God use you and take you to another place and another space in him. He ain't done with you yet. There's some more folk in this community that need to know where Emory Grove is. You got Vacation Bible School? Tell them, come on. We ain't got enough books, Pastor. You can't invite the whole community. So what? Invite them anyhow. See, that's what I told my folk last week. Well, Pastor, we only ordered a certain number of books. I don't care. Invite your neighbor, your friend, your cousin, your aunt. They don't got to be members of the church. Just invite them so they can enjoy what God has given you. Well, Pastor, you know, we probably won't get nobody else to come, you know, to Men's Day, because, what, did you invite anybody? I'm just saying, you know, you look forward. You got to, you know, you know enough people on your job don't go to church. You know enough people in your family that ain't been in, last time they been to church was the funeral. And they came because you were having a repast. Because you cook good chicken up, yeah. Y'all, some of y'all know I'm telling the truth. That's why you're laughing. If you are here today and you do not know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sin, if you don't have a relationship with him, I'm not asking you whether or not you come to church or come to the building. I'm asking if you have a relationship with him. And what I'm really saying is, if he were to call you home today, would you hesitate to go, or would you be free to go? What I'm asking you is that when everybody else turns their back on you, do you have a friend named Jesus who will come no matter what time it is and sit beside you and love on you until the hurt is gone? Do you have the comforter to come by in the midnight hour when folk don't understand what you're going through and tears are streaming down your face? Do you have a Holy Ghost handkerchief that will come by and wipe tears from your weeping eyes even in the midnight hour? Have you let all your stuff go? Put it on the altar and walked away from it and let God deal with it? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Are you in love with Jesus? See, there's a difference between me saying I love Jesus and me being in love with Jesus. See, because I love all y'all, but I'm in love with my wife. And so the intimacy that we have as friends ain't going but so far. And so when you say you love Jesus, you only want enough of Jesus to cure your problem for right now. But when you're in love with Jesus, you don't mind him getting in your business. Uh-oh. You don't mind hugging up on him. You don't mind blowing him kisses. You don't mind staying up in the midnight hour having conversations with him. You don't mind because you're in love with him. And when you're in love with him, you go to the nth degree to make sure that you're pleasing him. Uh-oh. And so if you're here today and you don't have a relationship, the altar is open. Don't worry about who's sitting around you, because push come to shove, they may not have one either. Or maybe you are here today and you've walked away from Christ, but you want to come and recommit yourself back to him. Give your life back to him. Let him use you as he wants to. The altar is open. Or maybe you're here today and you don't have a church home, and you want to make Emory Grove your place of worship. I'm just standing for your pastor today. I know you ain't coming to Calvert County, because that's a good 2-hour drive. So if you live in the community and you don't have a church home, why not just come on around here at 11 o'clock? They welcome you. It doesn't matter who you are. As a matter of fact, I said to your assistant pastor today, your pastor didn't tell me it was coming as y'all. Huh? See, because if I had known it was coming as y'all, I'd had on my polo shirt and my slacks. See, because at fourth Sunday at my place, it's come as you are. And it's not just fourth Sunday, we just designate that Sunday, but you can come as you are every Sunday, as long as you come to Jesus. Or maybe you're here and you just want to come and pray and give God thanks for keeping you and holding you and sustaining you. The altar is now open as the choir prepares to sing.
Save you just now.